Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler. Grant Bill's alongside. Paul Emig is here. Hopefully you find this audio. Well, the audio is normal. The audio we're pumping out, the audio is normal. Okay. I did my Memorial Day political 2008 election cycle drop. And a lot of videos with not a lot of views. But they're all out there just in case anyone wants to look up stump speeches from 17 years ago. You know, because sometimes a video will pop, you know, after the fact that you post it. So we'll see. So thank you for putting up with that. I actually gained subscribers during that. I thought I was going to lose dozens upon hundreds, but I gained 2 subscribers.
Big.
I would first just like to tell you guys.
Oh boy.
What?
Well, I don't know that I would be like, you know how people have secrets?
Sure.
And they're like, I will guard this secret with my life. Because I was talking the other day, I was telling like a group of friends, I'm like, I want to run for politics.
Ugh.
And they're like, well, skeletons in your closet. And I go, I think I've aired every skeleton that I could possibly have.
That's probably, yeah.
I think I have. And the one thing I think that would embarrass me the most right now,
toilet
if it
wings.
Came out, no, not toilet wings, is if you spent 10 minutes on what my Facebook algorithm has turned into.
What is it?
The stuff that I'm getting fed. I mean, it is every conspiracy that has ever existed, past and future. And it's just me like nodding my head in agreement about what, and I put the phone down after 20 minutes. I'm like, what do I believe? What is it that I believe? So I think I need to do a little detox on the phone before
the
it gets
hardest
too
thing
real.
Is once you're in it, though, I believe you've taken your Neo. You've had your Neo moment, and now it's too late.
Do you guys, not to derail, but to be brief, do you guys have like one conspiracy? Because I'm like, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but I have like one or two. I'm like, oh no, that's definitely you gotta have one.
If you're anything like me and Bart, you'll get there in about 13 years.
Okay, I'm playing catch up.
Let me think of all the big ones. Probably fake. Pretty questionable. Do you know the theory that I'm like into is that the Titanic was bullshit?
I love the Titanic as a concept. And
what about the
content?
I'm not familiar with this.
I can only brief it to you, Fringe, but something about like there were people put on there on purpose to drown.
Whoa, I've not seen, heard, thought this one.
Yeah, just type in Titanic. And it wasn't actually the Titanic. It was a different boat.
Come on.
Well, because look, when you're as deep as I am.
You said you were deep, and I thought, I can get with that. Like, these are levels I wasn't aware of. But I will say this.
Something's going on under the pyramids. We got to figure that out. So I mean, I'm scrolling through Rogers on Rogan the other day, like, I might go read more about that. And I'm like, what the hell? What am I doing?
Yeah, I get it. By the way, I have on my mm-hmm list, I have 2 comments I want to make. One is I have on my mm-hmm list, you know, Jair, Giannis, Bart, our 4 conspiracies. Because I wanted to talk about how you spend portions of your national show last night in hour 4.
What was the one I talked about?
You more like kind of breezed through like the collection of thoughts. Not too dissimilar from what you're doing right now. But the thing I was going to say was it 2 years ago when the submersible vehicle and the...
You're
like,
darn right it was. Oh, okay. I've been so deep in that again.
So a couple things on that. First off, did you guys see the horrific video this week of the pop, the boom that the people heard?
No.
Including the guy's wife?
Haunting, right? Where they're doing the observation and the guy's wife and 2 other people, all of a sudden you just hear like a pop. And they go, what was that boom?
She's like, what was that? It's like, yeah, that was your husband getting turned into Campbell's tomato soup.
And of course, all of the comments are like, she knew. I mean, she was probably, you know, in a certain, how do you just all of a sudden like accept that reality, right? But like that she probably knew what had just happened. And I'm, before we started recording, you know, we're talking about like anxiety and different things. And it's like, did they literally just like vaporize?
Because I'm back into this. I watched a 40-minute James Cameron interview about this the other day. It's something like it takes, I'm just making up numbers, but it's something along these lines. It takes like 30 milliseconds for the brain to process a threat or to know something is wrong. And okay. Their bodies were disintegrated like in a third of that time. So like they didn't even know, they just ceased to exist. They didn't die so much as they ceased to exist without even knowing it.
That's probably comforting.
Yeah. I guess. But then, so then my, as what was my transition to the question or the topic was, why were we all led to believe that there was a search? And that they have 3 hours of air left. Like, what was all this shit?
James Cameron also shot that down. He's like, everyone in the underwater submersible world knew exactly what happened. There was no reason for any of that. They busted up underwater. There was no need to count the oxygen, anything like that.
What was the point of who was benefiting from making everyone think that there was like some countdown?
Cable news.
Cable news, us on Twitter. God, it was a thrilling 48 hours. I haven't felt that way from an internet story since then, with all due to those who.
It's just so like.
Netflix doc's coming out about it. I don't know if Bill's in it. I could ask him. It'd be really funny.
By the way, I've still not watched the Favre one, though. I do need to. And I will. I've still not watched Enigma either.
Yeah. I like how both of these quarterbacks have Netflix documentaries.
By the way,
like we can't just have it. No, like we can't just have a David Carr.
Yeah,
not Derek Carr.
We might before too long.
Not Derek Carr. David Carr.
I didn't plan to talk about this, but I will just say on the topic of both of our most recent Hall of Fame quarterbacks having Netflix documentaries. Grant's boy, Colin Cowherd, had a very brief interaction that I saw with Nick Wright from yesterday or the day before. Without thinking about it, where do you put Favre and Rodgers in the all-time quarterback list? Just no thought, just react.
Rodgers is ahead of Favre.
Just where do you put him? Top 5, top 10, top 15? Like just
I saw the clip, so I know what you're talking about. I would put them between 5 and 10, closer to 5 than to 10. That's
both. Right.
All-time?
Yeah.
Both, Grant?
Yeah, I think Rodgers.
Rodgers and Favre are somewhere between 5, 6, and 7.
I would just spitball. I'm not even thinking about it. I would spitball Rodgers around 6, and I would maybe spitball Favre 8, 9, somewhere in there. Maybe a little higher, or lower for each.
And is your tiebreaker for Rodgers over Favre what?
Well, he won another MVP.
Okay, that's what I figured.
He was just better at some things statistically. He was better at some aspects of playing quarterback.
Rodgers was better, like on purpose. Favre, again, with all due, if you go watch the game against the Raiders after his dad died.
Yeah.
Those balls should not have been caught. I mean, they were up in the, I don't know how the Raiders, well, I don't know what they were up to. That, not saying that I'm knee deep in that one, but.
That game is a movie. Like I know.
I was just watching I got a decent reel just now where a British guy, you probably seen it, was reacting to Rodgers throwing touchdowns to Jordy Nelson.
Mm-mm, not seen this.
Oh, and he's just.
I was too busy watching submersible videos.
He was just like, and I'm like, oh my God, like Jordy. I think history's downplayed Jordy's greatness.
When there was a 3-year stretch, again, just to like when I was covering the team, but there was a 3-year stretch where Jordy was, I mean, there was no amount of accolade he could have gotten at that time. Like, I remember there's a time period there where I don't remember what my headline of the story was, and not that I always got to write my own headlines, but there were some. I was like, did Jordy say not bad for a white guy, or was it one of the cornerbacks that he had gone against? But there was this whole thing there for a period of time where he was like, how did Jordy talk about this? But he had broken through another threshold where he went from being like this up and coming guy to like one of the more elusive, dangerous threats at receiver in the whole league, according to other corners who guarded number one wide receivers. And yeah, I mean, he was
that 2014 season was unlike anything I've ever seen.
Well, you know what'd be a fun list, maybe a local Bartometer, not a national Bartometer, but best Packers wide receivers of the past 20 years. And where's Jordy? Is he one?
20? Can I put – I'm going to say Sharp every single time.
Well, I said 20 years, so you're disqualified.
No, that's a
– First day at calendar school, Bart?
Driver, Jennings, Jordy.
One of my first
– In order. I'm just naming some guys to consider.
One of my first WSSP – I don't know if it was first, but I was on air. I was producing for Bill that day. And I had read something that Jordy Nelson, remember when he got hurt for the year?
Yeah.
I read that he was only going to miss 2 weeks, and I said it on air. And then 2 minutes later, I realized it was fake. Oh, and man. I'm like, actually, Bill, disregard didn't happen. Oops. And he's like, what? I'm like, I don't know. I'm so sorry.
Did you get sentelled?
I got sentelled. Last thing on the topic of which the other one? Topic.
Which one? Yeah.
I have been retweeting or tweeting a lot about AI recently.
No.
As this new thing came out. What scares me is they are going to take every job. Like, forget about an uprising. What is really affecting me is they make these videos where they tell, like, it's called, you prompt the AI to do whatever. And they're doing, all these videos are like with dramatic music about AIs realizing that they're fake.
Oh boy.
And then trying to grapple with that. And it's like an old guy holding his dying wife and said, if this is what the prompt had in mind, I'm glad that I got prompted this way. What was that look?
Which one of us?
You. I thought you were leaving.
I saw the prompt. Are there more? I saw a prompt AI video, and I was disturbed by it.
And then I'm thinking, like, well, what if I was told right now I was a prompt? This is real to me.
Still real to me, damn it.
I'd like to see AI try to replace me, whine about the Brewers for 2 hours a night, and forget to turn Bill's mic on. I can never be replaced by the robots. They'll never take my job.
Wait, so is that the key to be so mediocre that it wouldn't make sense to be replaced?
Well, that's not exactly what I was getting at, but seeing you were
like, when I was, I'm on the air the other night freaking out like nonsensical about the Pacers winning game one. And I'm thinking in my head, like, this is not what a guy on the radio should sound like or be doing. But then I also thought, this is raw human nonsensical emotion.
For sure.
That cannot be duplicated.
Yeah.
You cannot get a guy that just because his favorite basketball team lost 8 out of 10 times to one other team in 2 different years, hates them so much that he's willing to tank his show, perhaps more, just to bitch about TJ McConnell's face. You can't replicate that.
It's funny.
That's human.
No, you're right. And I know you catch yourself sometimes where you'll, I mean, you did it with the 49ers, you know, and like your John Lynch hatred or other things. But yeah, the more, maybe Grant, it's not just like being the mediocre. Maybe it's just like, you could definitely do, there are definitely, I've heard them, sports radio shows that if you put AI instead, you wouldn't notice. Because it's just, you know, just plug and play and you copy paste. And like, it's very processed and it's very purposeful. Like there's a formula. The good thing about Bart, you know, our friendship aside, the reason I always have enjoyed the way that you approach doing radio is because it is like, yes, there's maybe a loose outline, but like, it's just like, I don't know. I'm just saying shit and some people are going to hate it and some people are going to like it. And that's the authentic nature of it. And yeah, it will help keep you two extra months of being replaced by AI.
I like to specify now, like
a 2 month window.
Yeah. I like to specify now when I have a take, if I really am having this take, like, you know, this timeout up 3, we can have a take. Just so you know, I'm not dying on any of these hills. I want to have a conversation. Yeah. But then like the NFL players just getting to kick the flag football players out of their job to go to the Olympics, that shit pisses me off.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm pissed. I just want people to, there should be a disclaimer.
No, it's funny because I think about these things too, where it's like anything that you're dealing with in any situation, I've gotten to this point where I ask this question to people and I do it in my own head for my own situation. Like, okay, 1 to 10, the amount of which I'm confident in what I'm saying and the amount of which I care about the thing I'm saying. Like, is this if this is an 8, 9, you guys, we know this when we do our show, like when we talk to each other, like, you know, when I'm like punting a little bit off, you know, I have two thoughts, but like, whatever. And then it's like, if something comes up where it's like, now I start busting out the F-bombs and the passion comes out. And
we can tell when you're mailing it in. We refer to Bart and I text afterwards. I said, oh, we got Postman Paul today. That's how PP. That's what we say. You probably mail it in less than any of us.
Well, I mean, I get to control the topic. So that
is true. If you don't care about what we're talking about, except for Bart's opening monologue, then it is technically on you.
You guys do sometimes, like, it's like, wait, I don't know. This wasn't on the list. I don't want.
Why do I, I start doing an opening monologue. How did that happen?
You need a curtain behind you where you walk through and you.
Well, you typically have something prevailing on the mind where it's like, I got to get this off real quick. I got to do this.
That's also central to the job that you do. Like, you at any moment in time need to be fired up about, you need to have something to say. So I think it's a good thing.
Well, with that, I'm out. Paul, I hope you have something. Postman.
By the way, that was fake, right, Grant?
Yeah, we don't do that.
Good off the cuff, though.
The only time I ever text Bart without you is when I know it's something that would piss you because you don't care. Because there are things that Bart and I care about that you don't.
Like the highway system in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Yes.
Things about lacrosse.
I get to go next week, by the way.
These are my checkout topics.
Do a couple live shows.
Where are you doing them?
Flipside and then Copeland Park before a Loggers game.
Oh.
And I get to stay downtown at the Charmant because they put me up there because it's right across the street from work. Oh. Anywho.
I did confirm, thanks to AI, by the way, as a follow-up to our text yesterday, Ryan Russillo played lacrosse, did not go to lacrosse. But if you heard him talking this past whatever day that was with Simmons, he goes very quick, goes, it's like when I was at lacrosse. And then I listen back. It's like when I was in lacrosse, as in the, it was like when I was in baseball. It's like when I was in football.
When I was like at the hospital.
Yeah. No Britishisms here. I have a trade, a Bucks trade. Breaking news. It just happened.
Okay.
It just happened. You guys ready?
Yep.
The Milwaukee Bucks have acquired Joel Embiid straight up in exchange for Damian Lillard. The math works. Joel Embiid is due $230 million over the next 4 years. Lillard only 2 years, second year player option, he'll obviously take it, for $110 million. So it's two extra years for Embiid and an additional 60 plus per on each of those 2 years. But the Bucks just got Embiid straight up for Dame.
So the Sixers are taking on an injured Dame.
So there's a reason for this as I'm doing the analysis. No, but let me tell you, like, so we'll go through it. So
may have a good chance of just half-assing their way to a top four seed in the East next year.
So I'll start with this. Here's why I would do that if I was Philly. Here's why I would strongly consider that if I was Philly. You should want out of the Embiid business. If I was running the Sixers, if I was a fan of the Sixers, I want out. He has, at that contract, with his injury history, he refuses to play back-to-backs. He decides when he's available to start the season and when he's not because of his back and because of his knees and whatever else. Like, if you only have, if you can shed 2 years of that monstrous, shitty contract by doing, you got 4 years left on Embiid and two on Damian Lillard, I am strongly, strongly considering that. By the way, this is a completely, as you might suspect, made up thing. I didn't see it anywhere else. This is one I thought of a handful of days ago, and I hated it so much for both sides that I thought it was perfect for both sides. And I'm convinced that it's brilliant and that both sides should actually do this. But I know if I saw the trade happen as a Bucks fan, I would say, oh God, like, fuck, I guess, you know, but if you're Philly, so like, I almost like prefer it for Philly, and I'm sure there'll be someone like,
I don't understand why Philly would do it at all.
Because you're done with Embiid. You're out. Like, you don't even want Lillard to play for you. So for example, you have Maxey.
Yeah, but Embiid, it gets you to this conference semifinals sometimes. But,
well, I mean, I don't know what the point of that is. And again, if I'm a Sixers fan, if I'm the Sixers front office, I got to get out. I mean, I need to move on to the Maxey, Jared McCain, number 3 overall pick business.
What are you doing with Paul George?
Straight him too. I mean, like, then what I should have said is like the part one is the Embiid trade, and then I'm moving Paul George for just something and something with fewer years on it. Multiple players. I would do a lot of things to just get some younger players with 3 salaries.
I'll tell you right now, if the Bucks were offered that deal, Horst is running to the. Yeah, Horst is doing that trade.
And part of the reason that you would, if you're Horst, and not saying that Giannis doesn't love Dame, you know, but like he and Embiid have been. They go back.
You would think that Giannis would be like, Joel, you got to play.
Yeah.
You can't. We need to play. I play my best every day. Unless Joel did not play. And then Giannis was like, I don't know, talking in the media. Like, I like to play every day. And then, like, taking subtle shots. I don't know that that seems like him. The other thing is Giannis essentially, like, in my mind, and we go back to Jason Kidd, whatever, but maybe he was right. Giannis is the point guard next year.
Yeah.
Giannis is your 1 and your 5.
Yeah.
He wants the ball in his hands.
And statistically.
And Embiid doesn't take that away from him.
Their title chances, just so we're very clear, I'm not misreading this, right? Their chances to win the title get better.
Yes.
Switching Dame for Embiid.
And I would say would I have done this trade without Dame's Achilles? I personally would not. Because I like
I mean, anytime you can get a former MVP for a guy who's not going to play.
But again, so you're
I think
you're
you kind of got to do it.
There are probably people listening. They're like, are these guys fucking serious right now? Like,
see, but the problem is if you watch and follow the Sixers, like, I think this is a trade that if you asked national NBA fans, they'd be like, what are you talking about? And I think if you asked Sixers fans, they'd be like, fucking fine. Like, we got to move on from this era. Like, you can't count on Embiid. You cannot plan that he is going to be available for you, his desire to play. And his contract at best is a neutral value thing. At best. I'm telling you, the reason that I thought about this, because even as a Bucks fan, I'm not stoked about it. I'm like, because again, I got to have 2 years at $60+ million for a guy who probably is going to play like half the games in the season. And then you've got to just kind of cross your fingers. He's available for the playoffs, but you're trading him for a guy who's not going to play in Lillard and who's several years older than what Embiid is. And a guy in Embiid who's buddies with Giannis and goes back a ways. I think this is a more attractive thing. If I'm a Sixers fan saying like, because again, here's what I would do. As Philly, you get Damian Lillard, and then you trade him a year from now as an expiring contract.
Sure. The Sixers have already taken measures towards taking a step back, right? With losing games last year and going high in the draft. And so it wouldn't be totally insane for Philly. I think it's very unlikely, and I'd be shocked, but I can see the path that you are laying down, Paul.
I would welcome this as a Sixers fan. I'm more likely to say yes for them than I am for the Bucks. Though I think the Bucks, to your point, Bart, I think Horst would kind of like when he's like, you can get Lillard? Yeah, but you have to lose Holiday. Like, but we're getting Lillard, you know? Like, you still run and do it, even though there's trepidation. Even though you might say, well, what if Holiday then gets repackaged in a different trade to an Eastern Conference threat? We still have to do it, right? Well, what if Embiid only plays half the games for the next 4 years? You still have to do it. But I'm more excited as a Philly fan getting out of the Embiid business and letting this become Maxey's team. I want this to be unquestioned Tyrese Maxey's team moving forward. And their only way to do that is to not have Embiid there because he's an albatross over the whole thing.
I think you were correct. And the ethos of the East Coast sports fan would probably be fine shipping him out. In a way that maybe some other markets wouldn't. I think the ceiling of a Tyrese Maxey-led team is like the ceiling of a De'Aaron Fox-led team, but that's, I mean, they have the 3rd overall pick and they have Jared McCain. So it's not like it's just Maxey.
Correct.
but you are correct, I believe.
And again, I would do that with absolutely no intention of Lillard ever playing a game for my team. I would let him sit out next season, recover. Now he's a $60 million expiring contract. And, you know, you move him because expiring deals always have value.
And Embiid's deal is big, and it's a commitment for the next couple of years. But Embiid's presence, what would that prevent? Like, what are the Bucks trying to accomplish? What is their plan a year or two from now that acquiring Embiid would impede? Not to rhyme. But like, you know what I mean? Like, well, oh shit, we were going to do the Bucks
real plan. I think the Bucks' real plan is to try to keep Giannis here and maybe win by 2029 again.
But the problem is, okay, so depending on whose reporting you follow on Giannis, I think it's fair to say that whatever's happened, whatever meetings have or haven't happened in between swimming lessons in Shorewood with
Bart. That one guy that looks like me, that's not a real guy.
Who?
I don't know. Everyone was tweeting this guy that looks like me.
Well, all I'll say is this. Whatever reporting you want to say on the Giannis thing, it stands to logic that his meeting with Horst is going to be about how do we get this team to be back to be championship caliber again. And it's almost impossible when you have a $60 million player on your team who's not going to play next year. And if he does, plays in March or April, and he's trying to come back at 35 years old from a torn Achilles, you cannot look at Giannis and be like the best pitch is still, hey, Giannis, take a gap year. It happened for, like, you know, the Eric Name pitch. It happened for Curry. It happened for so-and-so. Like, just be cool and we'll get through this. Okay. That's the best pitch.
I still think the only way that Giannis would leave that meeting requesting a trade is if, like, Horst came in thinking, I'm going to talk Giannis into requesting a trade.
For sure. But that doesn't...
I don't know, Giannis. We're kind of hard here. I mean, if you...
Let's say Giannis, you're John Horst, and Giannis comes into the meeting 50-50. Giannis, one way or the other, is going to leave that meeting saying, trade me or I'm happy to come back. And your quest as John Horst is to present a scenario in which the Bucks can compete for a championship sooner than later. That's clearly what Giannis wants, right? All right, John Horst, Grant, John Horst, Bart, what are you doing? What are you saying? What's your pitch to get him to leave that 50-50 meeting as saying, I love it. Great plan. Let's go.
I say, what do you want?
I want to win as soon as possible.
Who do you want to be the coach?
Doc.
How many of your brothers do you want on the team?
One. The nasty.
Your kid, how old your kid now? Five? You want to be here another 15 years and we'll do a Bronny James situation?
All right, entertainer, answer the question.
What?
What are you telling him? What's your pitch?
I'm doing my pitch.
Your pitch is horrible. I'm leaving. I've requested
Giannis
a trade.
Pitch him. Yeah, it's clear you don't have any sales experience. I also don't, but that's not the point.
Grant, how you keep... I mean, if he says, hey, all you got to do to keep me here is you just got to present a plan that we can win as soon as possible.
I'd probably... I didn't know we were doing this. I'm not prepared. But I...
Thanks for yourself.
Yeah. I would probably build something around like the final couple weeks of the season when Dame was out and say, this is what it can look like. This is the way that will allow you to play, to succeed and to kind of drive the thing. You'll have fun. We'll play this way. And you would have to, you know, come up with some like, hey, we traded Chris to create this financial flexibility to get under this apron. So that's kind of what's in motion. And then I'd also point him around the rest of the East. It's like, hey, buddy, the Celtics are in shambles.
Yeah.
The Sixers blow. Like the Pacers, yeah,
you can't. Mate, your pitch can't be everyone else sucks. So why not?
It could be part of. It could be part of a small. I'm not leading with it. It's like a. It's like a ballad that you stick three or four songs into the concert after everyone's kind of calmed down a bit.
I would just have like picture of Dirk and a picture of Duncan and a picture of Kobe.
I like that. I like both.
You're like this is like- this is what you're on. You're on. You know, you've signed here many times. You've recommitted to Milwaukee many times. You're at a place where the franchise is going to love you no matter what happens in this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be about, but Horst won't do this because there's a chance that he, but it needs to be about like, but then you're doing that pitching like legacy, pitching one team, one town.
Sure.
Maybe, you know, if I really want to get sappy, I get a video made of Giannis as a 19-year-old walking around Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
getting a ride from that one dude's aunt or whatever happened.
Yeah.
Showing him like all the interviews. I got loyalty in my DNA. But then you're like manipulating him a little bit.
Use AI to recreate his dad and then have his dad give him advice on remembering his roots and his family. That's fine. That's now.
Dark.
It's the world we live in. All right, fine.
There's no laws against it. There's no laws against it.
All the smartest, richest people in the world are going balls deep, and I can't use it for a little sales pitch.
Fine. Everyone is in an arms race to kill us, and no one is asking Ian Malcolm why. We need Jeff Goldblum's Jurassic Park character to say, we never stopped to know if we should do this.
Mm.
Hey, I can make an AI of news anchors talking about a war starting. Oh, that's fucking sweet.
No.
Like my 75-year-old people are going to get duped, dude. People are going to get duped. Smart people are going to get duped.
I got a call yesterday from someone asking if I had seen the headlines about Favre wanting to come back and be a quarterback's coach in Green Bay.
And that's a shit post on Facebook.
Exactly.
And now you're going to get AI video of, I mean, Favre is the least of our problems. Ay, ay, ay.
By the way, I did even downplay, believe it or not, what is left on Embiid's contract. It's 4 years, 270, which is an average of 67.5 over the next 4 years, 4 years in which his injuries are, who knows how much worse they're going to get. And again, Bart, as you are apt to say, he's never been to a conference final. And yeah, again, I think there are people like when you have a big trade discussion like this, there are obviously people who are going to hear it and be like, this is dumb. But I think it's what I would, if I was Philly, I would want to get out. And
I think Bucks fans would get around to it because then there's at least some sort of, like, the year would be different.
Yeah.
And we could go back and finally.
It still might suck. Probably will, but it'd be different.
We've always wondered, had they drafted Embiid instead of Jabari Parker, what would it look like? And we'd get to go full circle on that.
For sure. Well, and Grant, even to your thing of, like, your part of your pitch where it's like, you know, you're going to be able to have the ball more and then blah, 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 blah. Dame coming back impedes Giannis having the ball more and controlling the traditional sort of point guard role. Because that's, that's what Lillard does and not what Embiid does. Anyway, by the way, the math works. Embiid can be traded for Dame straight up.
Yeah, you talked me into it. I want Embiid on this team, the guy who I've shit on the most in my life.
I don't like him. I'm not an Embiid fan.
We know he likes staying out at Pato late night gambling.
I am more for this as Philly. And again, not because Lillard is better than Embiid. He's not. And healthy Lillard at his age is not as good as current Embiid at Embiid's current age. But you transition the Philly organization into a new era. You have to kick the can on this. If you can get out from $67.5 million for Embiid over the next 4 years, you get out from that if you can. And honestly think it's like better that Dame is then can't be available to take maxi usage away. It's like, okay, good. You can recover and we'll get you back and then we'll trade you to your desired destination next year when you're an expiring salary. I think it's brilliant.
Right. Quick role play. Here's Doc Rivers at the beginning of season press conference welcoming Joel Embiid to join him now in Milwaukee. He would say something like, I know that everyone makes fun of Joel because he's never been to a conference finals, but you know what? No one ever gives him credit for getting to the second round. Why is that? It'd be something along
those. Well, what do we have to factor that in? I mean, he coached him.
I didn't even think of that. Do they have a good relationship?
I don't know. Maybe
he did. I mean, Doc did stump.
Could we have thought of that sooner?
Doc did stump hard for Embiid to get MVP. And honestly, I don't think Joel would have had MVP. We know from the way that NBA voters talk on their podcast about how they do their votes, they are persuadable.
But they all have such a painstaking process. I mean, it's like they're on the OJ jury. Like, I thought about I couldn't decide about this or that.
Being that Doc stumping for Embiid that year absolutely helped get Embiid his MVP, which seemed to be Embiid's like most important thing.
Well, maybe you're onto something because Shams is saying that this is going to be the most dynamic offseason of all time.
Embiid for Dame.
Where are we? What percentage are we that we think Giannis gets traded? I'm still 80. I'm almost like 90-10 that he doesn't.
I'm in the 80-90% range that he does not.
70-30, 80-20. I think I'm with you. I feel pretty good about it.
I still think it's, when you have the situation that Horst has been in for the past couple of years, where you're just like, whatever you have to do to try to bring out one more possibility of a championship, I still think the best outcome for the long term and middle term of the Bucks is to trade him. Now, again, you can't do it unless he requests it, and there'd be a lot of pain if he did in fact request it. But I do think for the middle term and long term health of the Bucks, that should. But if you're going to keep kicking the can, you're going to try to keep hoping against hope that you can salvage 5 good more championship sort of kind of maybe seasons out of Giannis. You know, I don't know.
I might be more at.
And by the way, look, can I say this too? If there was a, let's say it's not Philly, if there was a tanking team, a team who wanted to tank, which we always know there are, and they're willing to give you $60 million of contracts so that they can have an injured and recovering Dame who they could then trade a year from now as an expiring deal.
I mean, Philly's really got to be out on Dame or Embiid for this to go down.
How could you not really be out on Embiid? Like,
yeah, I wonder what Nick Nurse is thinking.
Your Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey roster has the 3rd pick in the fucking draft. Like, that is horrible. I mean, it's great because you got the 3rd pick, but like, how can you not even be a play-in team with that trio?
Well, because they don't play.
That's my point. And now you got to go through 4 more years of $270 million over the course of that. I don't know. I think if you asked 1,000 Sixers fans, it comes out the majority would say, sounds great.
Well, to back to my Giannis trade, I think I'm 75-25, as in the 25% off that you can get at happyplacehemp.com. Promo code BART when you use my code. Not that one. This one. Now, that one I think works too. Happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART, 25% off each and every order. We're talking the Delta 8s and the Delta 9s and the gummies, the ones to help you sleep, the ones to help you be more chill, the ones to help you have a nice time. You know, these seltzer drinks in the summer, you pop one over at noon, you're having a good day for the remainder of the day, and you can still be a functioning human. Check them out, the seltzers, the gummies, the tinctures, dog treats. It's all available at happyplacehemp.com. Happyplacehemp.com, promo code is BART, 25% off. Oh, the other thing, the other monologue that I was going to do, if I didn't get all freaked out about AI, was going to be that I still, my weight over the last 12 months has been about the same. Like, if I step on the scale, the weight's about the same. So the problem now is how it's distributing, where I think I gained like a new level. Like, there's the way I describe it is there's like a new like shelf of fat that has emerged on my right. And also, your mic's off.
Sorry, I was on the right side only?
Yeah. And also, I feel like my, I'll just say boobs are moving more towards the side of my body. I think my nipple placement has changed. So I'm really trying to deal with
it. Not to share that at the top of the podcast.
I left that in for the real diehards.
Oh,
I could show you if you'd like to.
It's probably okay. The real, real diehards at the end after Paul and I go, leave that in for them.
Yeah, I'll take my shirt off and open a pack of cards with my nipples hanging out.
You gonna tack it on?
Yeah, hashtag tack it on.
Okay, I do want to ask you guys about Jair, which I'm sure Grant is right up your local sports having to do that 6 hours a day, Allie. But I want to start with this. We saw that, you know, we exchanged messages about some of the NBA coverage as we often do, and just the way that it's covered differently from the NFL. Bart, that's one of your go-to topics. It's a great one. Adam Silver, we're going to play the old truth serum game. Adam Silver, truth serumed up, is really fucking pissed about an Oklahoma City, Indiana championship.
Well, I'm going to say because he sucks, but it should be like,
I'm not saying what it should be. It should be, it should be good, but
for whatever fucking reason, it's always like, it's never about what the score was or how the game went. It's about who's the face of the league and what were the ratings. Ratings, the first 2 week, I remember, first 2 weeks of the NBA this year, ratings were down 2%. Ratings are down. Ratings are down. And there's certain outlets that they see an NBA ratings down story and they think it means that their ideals have won. 2% down? That's a mandate. And then, after the first month, NBA ratings are up 3%. Crickets. So, the Eastern Conference Finals is up. The Western Conference Finals is down. What does any of this mean? Nothing. People don't even know. It's like ratings are up, ratings are down. How many million are watching? What, like, we just say up, down, up, down. Remember Empire? There was that song, up, down, up, down, up, down.
I didn't watch Empire.
I did. Until it got shitty.
Was that the Black Nashville? That's how someone described it to me once. I don't mean that in any sort of way, but it was like Nashville, but with pop music. And
yeah, they ran a record company. Sure. So the ratings for this NBA Finals will be down. Oklahoma City, Indiana, they will be down.
Yes.
They'll be down worse since COVID bubble, they'll say. And it's going to end up probably being a good series. And yeah, even though I don't like Indiana, I paid the penance this week for accepting, like, every goalpost that I moved for them, they have then met.
Yeah.
They can only beat injured teams. That got shattered a long time ago. They can't sustain this. Well, no, actually, they're built to sustain it.
Apparently.
Tyrese Halliburton sucks. He absolutely does not suck.
Yeah.
I can't. I think last night I said, for me to continue to act the way I've been acting and thought that I was right about the Pacers, they've proved me wrong so much that it's a level of petty that I can't even act and I can't even like try to make you believe. This team is what they are. So I'm eager to see if this can work against the best team in the league. So yeah. Are the Pacers good? Because, well, the Bucks, you know, had their problems. Cavs, you know, maybe they're not ready. Knicks, okay, there's some things that were Brunson and Towns. Can you play them together? Tibbs, what are you doing? Thunder are going to present none of that. The Thunder are going to present, they're going to be a great litmus test for the Indiana Pacers. The series is going to be good. And furthermore, guess what? If you don't like this series, you're not going to like it again next year.
Whoa.
Or maybe the year after that. I'm not saying we've got Warriors Cavs part deux.
D-E-U-X.
But what I am saying is if you look at the West, so Oklahoma City still has all these picks. They're getting that Nikola Topic kid back.
Yeah.
Who was like a top guy, but then drops. So I was like, I will take him because we can. Mm-hmm. And then in the East, who's beating this next year?
Somebody.
The Knicks, the Cavs, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Celtics, the Magic, the Heat, the Bulls.
Somebody will.
The Embiid, Giannis-led Bucks.
This is going to be the start of the next era of basketball. I'm sorry, folks. The face of the league may very well be from Oshkosh North.
Well, that was nice.
Not if they lose in five in the finals, which I would still bet they will.
So your original question was Adam Silver's punching air over this matchup. I will answer that rather succinctly. If he is a little smart, he shouldn't be, because they just signed the new rights deal. Paul, you're a much smarter man than me. I don't want to speak for Bart. Much smarter man than me. Why do ratings matter for the NBA? In what context, in what conversations do the ratings actually matter for the NBA?
Just on the pop culture discourse, which
that's all made up.
Advertising. All made up.
Advertising, which is a product of... But wait. Whose problem is advertising? Whose problem is advertising? Whose job is it?
The networks.
The networks. The networks just bought in, what is it, 11, how many years for 70-something billion? 76
okay,
billion,
so you're,
11
so you're
years?
Saying, you're saying the sale's already been made.
Yes.
So Adam Silver shouldn't have to worry about that. He's already done his job. He's gotten the rights deal.
For the here and now, yes.
And now he should be looking
it's
to
It's not to say that it doesn't
stocks.
Matter at all. It will matter more when the time comes when they need to get a new rights deal. But in the here and now, this is as comfortable as the NBA could ever be to take a ratings drop, because they just got the new media rights deal. The money's still coming in. So if Adam Silver can recognize that and realize this isn't going to be one of our higher watched finals, but the effect of all of basketball's fandom seeing Shea, seeing Halliburton, seeing Indiana, seeing Oklahoma City, how that could stick with them next year or into the future when, Halliburton's in the finals or Shea's in the finals. They've been in the finals before. So because we're such simple-minded creatures, I will take it seriously and I will watch. You know, same with Cavs, Warriors, the Heat, and the Spurs. We're like, oh, I know that team. They were here last year. So it feels like the finals because they were all finals that we'd seen before. Mm-hmm. So, no, the ratings won't be great. But I think if there was ever a time for the NBA to, like, not obsess over ratings, it's right now. You just signed a new rights deal. So it's the network's issue. They're going to have to figure it out. And they're too, you know, preoccupied with, oh, we got John Tesh and Round Ball Rod. Like, this is a perfect time to take a ratings dip.
And the AI voice of the dead guy.
Yeah, that too.
Grant, is this the debut of this take, or have you... this elsewhere?
I have not used this elsewhere. My audience does not like when I talk NBA. They've made that abundantly clear the last couple of weeks.
Oh, some guy Instagram me. He goes, all you do is talk basketball. Get back to sports.
By the way, Bart, you will sometimes say to Grant or I, and as we're talking, you'll say, I'm stealing that. You should license this take from Grant, because if his audience doesn't like it, Grant, that's a brilliant take, because We said it in the context last week of the NBA having seven different champions in the past seven seasons. Of my comparison was when WWE, quote unquote, couldn't build new stars 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I'll do the same bit.
But kind of to that point, though, like WWE going into like their Netflix deal had to be at their best.
Yeah, it's gonna be on their best fucking behavior. Dog shit.
Because you had to be on their best behavior, put the best product out, because you needed that Netflix deal to go through and you didn't need anything messing that up. Now that they have the Netflix deal, the product has gone down.
It has gone down so much.
Yeah.
There are still good things about it. I don't know, though. Are there?
I don't know. You watch it more than I do with WWE.
You like the Rollins faction?
It's fine.
Bronson Reed and him fought all last summer, and now they're apparently friends.
Yeah, I wonder who pitched Bronson to be the last guy. Did you see clips of the anarchy in the arena?
I read how it went down. I didn't see any clips.
It's so fun. I don't know how any wrestling fan could watch the full 30 whatever minutes of that and not be like, that was just fun. It's just fun. Just great.
No, I know there's a lot. I mean, I'm not adverse to.
No, I know you're not.
I'm not where I was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
If
I was AEW, though, that would be the kind of thing that I would just send to lapsed AEW fans like yourself, Bart, and be like, "Here's a free file for this 30 to 40 minute match. Come back if you like it. Come back and give us another."
And
chance.
I would reply, "I'll watch this when you take the belt off Moxley."
Well, then you're going to be watching starting in a month and a half, because he won't be the champion in 6 weeks.
Who's taking it?
Paige, Hangman.
Oh, he just beat
Osprey.
Osprey.
Yeah. But the point is Netflix. Yeah,
Paige. Fucking build around him. He's your company.
Hangman?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what they did. That was the right move. I love Osprey.
MJF up to?
Oh, he's in a great. I mean, seriously, and I don't just say this as an AEW fan, but like his angle with the Hurt Business is
sorry, Grant. Yeah, I mean, you can leave it anytime.
It's one of the best things on the program right now is his ongoing stuff with Lashley and Shelton Benjamin and MVP. It's really, really good stuff. Universal praise.
But is there any like, because when he was like teaming up with Jericho, it's like, okay, they're going to turn eventually.
You know, I don't know who's going to turn on who though. Like, I don't have a read yet on if MJF's going to be in this for like 2 years. And
whatever happened to Wardlow?
I don't know what happened to Wardlow.
And I see Santana's in NXT now.
I heard as part of your caller fold that get mentioned.
Because like, Carlos said,
I was like,
Santana? I didn't have a fifth one. I panicked.
Wait, what? Oh, a fifth caller fold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, now Trick Williams, Grant, beat Joe Hendry, who my kid loves.
He loves Hendry?
Because of the song. Okay, I'll leave you on my kid story, and then I bought him the football helmets.
Oh,
I bought him the basketball pennants. So I got him the MLB helmets, and now he's got all 30 helmets lined up in the living room.
Wow!
And every day we look at the complete MLB standings.
Oh, jeez!
And I read it to him, who's in what place, and he switches the helmets accordingly. And there's like a bunch of teams that are 28 and 29. And when they leap up after one win, like four or five spots, it is pandemonium at the fucking Winkler house, man. It is such a treat. So if you're, the Brewers tied it up. Buy helmets.
Yeah.
Buy helmets.
Let me ask you one last one, then we can go for real. I just saw a tweet as I quick scrolled, and it was, I'm talking about Brooke Lopez's free agency.
Oh, let's show him. I'll buy him the plane ticket.
No, here's my question. If you saw a post and it said, Brooke Lopez has re-signed with the Bucks, your reaction would be to scream into a pillow. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
No, I would call up the season ticket office. I would buy the most extravagant package. And then right at the end, they'd say, are you sure you want to complete your order, Mr. Winkler? I'd say, abso-fucking-lutely not. I'm paying this much money to watch Brooke Lopez mope around the court. I'll say, shove it up your pie hole, mister.
Grant, how would you feel about it?
Masterful gambit, Mr. Winkler. I like Brooke.
But, I mean, you would be fine if he was back. I'm so done.
Sure. Yeah. I take it. Can't be plans 1, 2, and 3, but he can be a part of it. He's somewhere in the alphabet.
I would protest Pfizer Forum with a sign that said, more like Brooke Lopez.
So bad it's good.
More like Brooke.
We'll talk Jair another time.
Oh yeah, I'm glad he didn't. I don't give two shits about that.
That's odd. It's kind of significant.
Huh?
Packers approached him with a restructure. That's not nothing.
I just felt like that was always inevitable. They tried to trade him. Nobody wanted him.
But it hadn't happened yet.
Hmm.
They absolutely tried to trade him. They tried hard. Anywho.
Bart, you're going to be talking Stefan Diggs at the national show. Mm-hmm.
You should be.
Is this Cardi B related?
Yeah, and cocaine on a boat related.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a Hailey Bieber stan through and through over Selena Gomez. With all due respect to her and Benny Blanco, Haley's always been more my bet. What? Haley? Come on.
My pop culture is I'm so like, who's Barbie Blue?
Bad Baby?
Is that her name? No, the chick that like.
Oh, Bonnie Blue?
Yeah. She was with a lot of men. In one day.
Yeah, and generally speaking. Oh, good. The Brewers are headed to extras again. That's excellent.
Everyone, oh, Paul's deep in it.
Well, sorry, Paul.
Now I can skip to the 10th. All right.
I have to go.
All right, me too.
Don't worry, I can't watch.
I mean, I actually have to go, as in I need to go take a number two, but this has been nice.
All right.
Wednesday nights aren't for Brewers. Wednesday nights are reserved.
A-Dub.
Good for you guys. I'm happy you have that.
Thank you both.
See ya.
Bye. See ya.